Okay, hi, I'm Catherine. As she said, I am a student at Boston University, and I've done a lot of my work while there in figuring out how pharmacists and other healthcare providers can better interact with patients to make it more of a truly patient-centered model, rather than just talking at patients, but actually helping patients to understand what you're saying to them. I have no relationships to disclose. And I basically want to talk briefly about the contribution that the pharmacists can make and briefly highlight on mistakes that people often make. But I decided to focus mainly on the health literacy component associated with communicating with patients, because I figured since most people in the room probably were not pharmacists, but you probably had the opportunity to work with other healthcare professionals, and I wanted to share basically what I did in my internship at the Leahy Clinic and talk about how we made the materials there and we made the communication going on at Leahy Clinic more understandable to patients and therefore hopefully improve their health outcomes. This is just some brief background, but the main thing to talk about here is that most of the information given to patients, the reading level is at that's above a high school graduate, and most of the people in the general population, the average reading level is about fifth grade, and regardless of that, when people are sick, no matter what their education level or literacy level is, they want the most direct information. And I want to relate that as well to how a pharmacist can actually talk to the patient and kind of be that last line of defense for the healthcare system. And it's important to think about what a high-quality piece really is when you're talking to providers or you're talking to other people in the public health world. It's important to keep everything simple and clear. And at the same time, like I said, you need to remember that just because you're talking to somebody with a high education level, it doesn't always mean they're understanding what you're saying. Or there might be somebody with a very low education level who has a lot of experience with a disease state. Maybe their child has, you know, diabetes or something like that, and they might be very understanding of what you're saying. So that's not always a predictor. So talking a little bit about the pharmacist, definitely a pharmacist has a role in this, not only recognized by a majority of pharmacy organizations and pharmacy education committees, but also recognized by American Public Health Association. The pharmacist is available to a patient 24 hours a day for essentially free medical advice. You can call in, you can come in to your community setting, and pharmacists are kind of there to help lessen the burden of the ED or the doctor, because they can actually say, you know, I do think this is something that you need to go see a provider for, or, you know, this is something that you can self-treat, or something you can, you know, wait it out for a couple days and see if it clears up on its own. And I think that's something that isn't being utilized as well as it could be. And pharmacists can also work in an ambulatory care setting to provide direct communication with patients, especially regarding smoking cessation or diabetes counseling, all these topics. Even colorectal cancer screening is kind of coming to the top of something that pharmacists are looking to play a role in. And so I just think it's important that not only that these organizations are recognizing it, but that it's being recognized in the setting that you can utilize the pharmacist, and that to help, you know, lessen that burden so people aren't just going to the emergency room or going to like health clinics. You know, pharmacists are there as well. This is just briefly a slide that is some of the errors that we find are often committed when communicating with patients. And as I'll talk in a minute, there was, at the work I did at the Leahy Clinic, this is something we kind of worked into what we were trying to create there. But the one thing I wanted to talk about here mainly is the teach-back method, which occurs in verbal communication. And this is important for pharmacists when they're talking to patients, but as well as any provider. And it's important to make sure that the pharmacist or the provider understands these methods and understands sometimes you have to ask the patient, okay, what did I tell you? How are you going to take this medication? What type of foods are you going to eat when you go home? To make sure they're really understanding what you say. So again, like I said, I did want to talk a lot about the Leahy Clinic. So I did my fellowship at the Leahy Clinic. It's just outside of Boston in Burlington, Massachusetts. And I worked on a multidisciplinary team. And essentially there were physicians, there were nurses, there were pharmacists, and it was head by a person with a background in public health. She was kind of our health literacy guru on the team, and we met a couple times a quarter. And the main purpose of this team was to develop what we called problem pieces. So a nurse would come up and say, this is the paper that we're giving to our patients, for their when they're being discharged. And we would look at it and assess, is this appropriate? Are patients understanding it? And it sort of just gave the hospital a central team to analyze what they were giving to their patients. And the goal, obviously, was to improve the health communication and to improve health outcomes. And while I was there, our primary goal was to improve the written communications pieces, and the next step was to improve the verbal communication, which I worked a little bit on, and I'll talk about. And the Lakey Clinic, for those who aren't familiar, it's primarily an ambulatory care setting, so that gave us a great opportunity to basically edit. There were all kinds of pieces going in and out. Everything from pre-op instructions to the travel clinic. You know, we took all these pieces where they had just photocopied CDC recommendations on vaccines and on creating oral rehydration salts, and we took all these things and made this really nice comprehensive booklet. And what they're doing at the Lakey Clinic now is they want everything to go through this team, and it's assessed to see if it's appropriate. And once it's edited, it goes back to the nursing. So say like a nursing department and an ambulance at one of the operation sites says, I want this paper looked at. So we would look at it, we would edit it, we'd send it back to the nurse would look at it, the physician, they'd make their edits, and it was kind of a going back and forth. Takes some time to get everybody to agree on what we want on this paper. And then it was then uploaded to the intranet site. So then the nurses, when they had a person having this procedure, they could just really easily go into the website, find the procedure, open the PDF, print it off, and then they could make copies right there so they didn't have to request it from the department. The one thing we were finding, though, was there was a lot of resistance. Obviously, this is a process that is time-consuming. It requires a lot of editing. It requires a lot of eyes looking at it. And we also found that a lot of the physicians at Lakey Clinic felt that the statistics I showed at the front, that the importance of health literacy wasn't actually applicable to the patients seen at the Lakey Clinic. A lot of the people at Lakey Clinic are private payers. It's a nicer suburb of Boston, and they felt like, you know, my patients, they can understand it. And that was one of the things we really had to deal with, was helping them understand that when people are sick, they just want the information quick. They want it to the point. They want to be able to talk to somebody about it, whether it's the pharmacist, whether it's the provider. And so for that reason, we developed this online training module. It was in process while I was there. And it was essentially just to help get buy-in from every member of the staff. And we also started doing an education tip of the month just to kind of make providers more aware of what needed to be done. So this is a piece that I first worked on. And it actually was a piece that had been revised. And this was what they were giving out. And they were saying, this is appropriate. And as you can see from first glance, it's extremely overwhelming with the text. I think someone talked earlier about even providers didn't like looking at all the texts. And so imagine if you're a patient and you're just like, I don't know what to do with this. And as you can see, it's not very clear where you want the patient to read. So say they're just gonna, you know, read a few things, they don't have time to read the whole thing. You wanna make sure that their eye goes to the most important piece and that they know where they want to, where they should be looking and what exactly they should be doing. So this is the piece that was developed from that first piece. As you can see, there's a lot more white space, there's visuals, and there's clear headings, you know, like what happens during the procedure, bump, 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 bump. You know, do I have to do anything, dun, dun, dun. And this actually also kind of, I talked about the travel piece. That was something that we really utilized this format so that patients could say, okay, I'm going overseas, what are the things I need to buy to bring in my kit? And we gave them a checklist. What are the vaccines I need to get? We gave them a checklist. How do I make oral rehydration salts? We gave them a checklist. We gave them clear instructions. But obviously, I couldn't show you a whole booklet, so I'm going to show you this instead. But, you know, you can think of how this can be related. And so these are just the, you know, the techniques again. One of the things that we really found that patients responded better to were if you said, okay, you're having this surgery, rather than saying, do not take NSAIDs such as ibuprofen or aspirin or Advil, we would say, take Tylenol or your prescribed medication. For things like colonoscopies and bowel preps, we gave them information that said, start at this time, this is your diet, start your colonoscopy prep kit at this time. And currently they're talking about trying to figure out doing some sort of research on seeing how things are improving. Currently, we only have the anecdotal evidence, you know, from nursing, but we did find that there's less calls to the lines late at night. We know people, oh, I don't understand my procedures tomorrow, what do I do? But the number of calls decreased and the number of procedures that had to be rescheduled because patients didn't understand and didn't follow the directions correctly, that has been positively impacted. Also, the pharmacist area in the ambulatory care settings found that their patients better adhered to their insulin protocol, which was kind of one of the things we were focusing on. When we looked at the things that the pharmacists were using, we found that all their instructions only talked about oral meds, and they actually weren't even giving the patients any information about insulin and how to give injections. So that was one of the pieces we integrated. But again, yeah, these are just some things you can integrate. So then talking about how you take this to your setting, it's currently actually not recommended to screen for health literacy. So it's not something it's not one of the questions we have to throw on and other questions for the doctor to ask. It's just kind of understood that practitioners should be aware of this issue, and they should be talking clearly and simply to every patient, regardless of their status. But there have been some studies come up lately talking about this. I don't know how many of you are familiar with the newest vital sign, which is referring to health literacy. So for that reason, they're looking at actually using it in clinical practice. But as you can see, the results are all over the place. You know, one study you'll find, oh, patients appreciate this and they're more satisfied. Another one finds that they're less satisfied. Another one finds they're neutral. But some of the people in the field, the health literacy field, think that this is going to end up being similar to when they used to not ask women if they felt safe because they thought women wouldn't answer. If they were being exposed to violence, they thought they'd be ashamed and therefore wouldn't want to answer. But now that's a question that's asked readily. A lot of people think that this is going to come to that, that people are going to say, are you understanding this? Can you read this form? We'll see what happens. Like I said, right now the evidence, it's very limited and it's all over the place. There's results from, you know, every side of the board. And these are just some resources that you could use if you wanted to integrate something like this into your setting, you know, how to improve your health literacy of your patients and how to improve the quality of your pieces creating. And I just want to thank Roseanne. She was the person who had headed this headed the team at the Leahy Clinic, and then Dr. DiPietro as well, who had some input onto this presentation. Okay. Thank you.